Double J
with Tim Shiel.
So that's Nyreen. Her new album is fantastic, spectacular, incredible, amazing. Stop me, Nyree, if you want. You just, I can keep going if you want. It's the greatest album ever made.
Come on.
Oh, come on. I was just waiting for you. I was trying to get it. I was trying to get you there. There you go. We got Nyree. We got Nyree. Nyree's in the house on Double J.
I'm here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you join us on Double J because your album, your third record, which is called Three, is our feature album this week on Double J. Congrats.
Woohoo. Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, what an honour. What an honour. Thank you so much, Double J.
Oh, look, we've been living with some of these songs for a little while on the radio. We've been playing songs as they've been coming out, and it's great to finally get the full package. And I'm sure you feel that way too, finally having this record out, yeah?
Holy crap. I mean, it's been 5 years in the making, and a friend of mine was like, how do you feel? Like, do you feel? I'm like, dude, I've been sitting on these songs for 5 years. Like, of course, it feels amazing, like, to get it out and not have it, like, not know what to do with it. And, you know, now it's the people's. It's the people's. It's in their homes. It's in their lives. And I'm just, oh, it feels really good.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this, Nyree, but, you know, those 5 years have been tumultuous globally, and also in your life there's been a lot going on. So, you know, this album essentially reflecting a time where everything has kind of changed, you know, for you and for the world. Is it? Am I overstating it or being too dramatic, or does it kind of feel like that for you?
No, more drama, anything. no, it's been such a, I mean, no one would have thought we'd be in these times, like in our lifetime, we go through a pandemic like this. And, you know, I feel like I went through my own pre-lockdown before the actual pandemic, because I got quite sick with my pregnancy, which I think a lot of people are starting to know now. But yeah, I had all my gig calendar completely wiped because I was just so sick and in pain. And you know, to have that happen and then go into a pandemic and that happen countless times over and over again. Yeah, you could say that I was a little bit prepared. yeah, it definitely was forged in the fires of craziness.
Yeah. Well, we're so grateful that you got there, and this album is so spectacular. Already just the last couple of days, hearing these songs on the radio, nearly every track on the record feels like it was meant to be on the radio, you know? Like, they are just so, they're so, I don't know, they're so easy to listen to. And I don't mean that as a backhander. That's meant as a proper compliment. Do you know what I mean? They're just songs that you want to live in. I wanted to, we're going to get into it, Nyree. We're going to get into this record. But I want to, I'm almost nervous to say these words, but I want to start by saying, I completely forgot until I read in a review this week of your record that you had anything to do with Australian Idol. Now, we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about it at all. I'm just, you know, we don't need to even, but what I'm trying to say is, I feel like with this, I mean, I think you were already there, but with this album in particular, that you have just, you have reached a level of creativity and mastery. Mm. You're so empowered, uncompromising, that's, it's not even really a footnote anymore. And I mean, I'm bringing it up because, you know, I'm bringing it up mainly to say that I'm not going to bring it up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it must feel like that to
no,
you as well.
I get it.
It's like a different Nyree, right? Different person. Yeah,
exactly. And for a while, I was uncomfortable about talking about it. And I'd always tell people who are managing me or my teams, like, can we just make sure everyone who interviews me doesn't bring up the A word?
Yeah.
And
that
now
that still happens. That still
happens. And to be honest, it's a great thing because I'm still in the memories of people who have followed me from, you know, what, over 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And honestly, it's been such a great launching pad for me. I've met so many people, like Paul Mack. I wouldn't have met him otherwise if it wasn't for that show. So, you know, I'm grateful for what it was. I really am.
Well, this record is called Three. It is your third album. And I want to, like, let's nerd out. You know, like, you're a bit of a nerd, aren't you, Nyree?
I'm down. I am. Yeah. I am. I'm a low-key kind of nerd/dag.
I'm not low-key about that, so we make a pretty good match. Let's start literally with the opening seconds of your album, all right? Literally the opening line. It's not even a song. It's sort of like a little intro, but this is how your record starts.
I love you.
Okay. Look, we're not going to break this down second by second, but I press play on your album and the first thing I hear is you saying, I love you. Mm. It's a huge, bold way to start a record. Who are you saying I love you to?
I'm saying I love you to the people that I love. I'm saying I love you to myself. And with you putting it that way, I actually never intended it for it to kind of come out that out of the gates like that. And it makes complete sense now that we, for people to hear that as the first thing, you know, because this whole record was put together with love and is given with love. And I hope people are receiving that love that is, you know, is emanating from this record. And it really was about being in a hospital room with my husband's grandmother, actually, and watching her quietly pass on to the next life. And just seeing how special that moment is. If anyone's ever experienced that, it's honestly one of the most privileged moments that anyone can ever be a part of. But also, I mean, it's obviously the same name as the album. And I keep telling this story because everyone's quite intrigued by Three, and it's also my favorite song of the album, which I, you know, I understand why people are interested in it. But a lovely young man from MTV extrapolated the meaning that when you count to three, you expect something good to happen.
Right.
And which are the lyrics after, I love you, yes, I know you love me too. And then I count to three, and then there's some breathing throughout that track. And, you know, I just feel like the whole album just speaks of a stripping of layers and a stripping of, like, okay, by the end of it, I hope you feel lighter in your body and lighter with all the weight that we all carry trying to move through this life, especially in this pandemic. So it's just like, okay, let's meditate a little bit and then push off.
It's a great way to start the record. Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, Nairi, you got a bit of singing there, don't you? You can sing all right, can't you? You know what? You were just saying that idea of when you count to three, usually something good happens, which I've never thought about that, but it makes me think of, do you know Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka singing that song Pure Imagination?
Oh, it's one of my favourite songs ever.
And before he starts singing, he says, close your eyes. Count to three.
My gosh, exactly.
It's like, you know, something wonderful is going to happen. Only good things are going to happen.
Only good things.
I'm chatting with Nairi about her new record, Three. It's our feature album on Double J. It is such a rich record. We're going to talk through a few of the songs, including a couple of the tracks that we've been playing here on Double J the last 18 months to 2 years. In fact, this song we just played. You hit me right between the eyes. This is the next track on the record, I think, is it? Is this track two on the album?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So it's sort of the proper opening track, kind of. It's called Shiva. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you were kind of grateful for what would have also been a heartbreaking experience with your partner's nan passing away. Mm. It's always that mixture of, in the best possible circumstance, it's a mixture of joy and sadness in those moments. Sometimes it can be not so much joy, depending on how things have played out, but I didn't realize with this song that it was kind of related to the process of grief. Can you talk a little bit about that and where this song came from?
Yeah, I realize I write about death quite a bit, and I apologize to anyone who finds it a bit dark. But this one, at the start of the project, which started in 2017, I assembled a small creative team to go back to PNG, just with the hopes of trying to, I guess, collect as many visuals and as many photographs as we could to start the project. And so we started working backwards with visuals and then writing music afterwards, which, you know, is a really difficult thing to to take on and really stretch my creative muscles in so many different ways. But one of the moments that we had on that trip was fell on the end of mourning for my grandmother.
Mm.
And in Pidgin, we call it Brukim House Cry, which is basically to break the house of mourning. And, you know, it was a very confronting thing to bring Westerners into a situation like that where, you know, when Papua New Guineans mourn, it's not like a, you know, a little sniffle into a handkerchief. It's like a real full body wail. And, you know, I just thought about how beautiful that, you know, my grandmother's given me so much, being a woman who had it, what couldn't read or write or whatever, and managed to get my mother through school, even though her own husband didn't want to put my mum through school because he was opposed to girls getting anything in life. She'd given me so much by giving my mum that gift of education, but also at the end of her life, she'd also given me that gift of remembering what it means to be in a community and to grieve within a community as well. And so I wrote that song, Shiva, about that. But I don't know if you get into spooky things, Tim, but it really felt like my Aine, my grandmother, was following us through that whole trip as well. And so that was basically about that, how I felt like I got those shivers and that, you know, that like, is someone standing behind me or is like someone in the corner of my eye kind of vibe. And it really felt like that. So that was Shiva.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's interesting the way that I guess maybe there culturally there's different ways in which we grieve and ways in which we process that in groups and in families. And yeah, it sounds like that would have been a pretty interesting experience, like you say, for Westerners coming into a Papua New Guinean situation of grief where everyone's just letting it all out, like emotions are on display.
Yep.
Love that. I am chatting to Nairi. Her third album, conveniently titled 3, is our feature album this week on Double J. We're playing songs from it all week, and we're taking this chance to pick Nairi's brain about these songs because on the surface they're such enjoyable kind of pop tunes, essentially, but there's so much going on in every song, Nairi. That's why this is such a towering achievement of an album. I want to play a song in full, but we're going to talk about it first, and you already touched on it. Before the pandemic and being locked down, you had a lockdown of your own of sorts, in and out of hospital with a pregnancy that was pretty tricky. You know, I think I don't want to speak for you, but, you know, I think a lot of parents listening to Double J would understand that feeling when you go into a pregnancy. You know that there might be things that might go wrong. You know that you're there's a bit of nervousness about that. You've got to manage that anxiety. And like we all fear for when things go a little bit pear-shaped. And that's what happened for you, Nairi. You know, were you prepared for it? I mean, can you be?
Hell no. I mean, you know, as a parent yourself, and I'm sure your wife will agree as well, that you just, with your first child, you just don't know what to expect. You can read all the parent books under the sun. And, you know, unfortunately, mine was quite traumatic and I was in a lot of pain. So there was just no room mentally to really take much in. And also, you know, we had sometimes when you go through those systems, you're really rushed through, you know, it's like, okay, so you're going to get this done and this done and blah, blah, blah. And there's no space to go, oh, but do you know what this means? Or do you know what that other thing means? Or, you know, when you take, have a induced pregnancy, it's going to really effing hurt, you know? And you're going to want the epidural. So, yeah, it was just horrific, to say the least.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you go into those things, you go into anything with expectations, right? And I don't think necessarily anybody can ever prepare for that moment where things might go wrong. And you've spoken a little bit about this already, Nairi. You mentioned it sort of previously, but for a bit there it looked like you possibly weren't going to make it and that your baby wasn't going to make it. And I want to say straight up that it did work out, which I'm so thankful for. There's a happy ending, man, in the form of your little boy who is 3 years old. But,
yeah,
you know, this. Tell me about this song. We're going to play it now. It's a track from the new record that's called Him. Mm-hmm. How did that experience come out into this song?
So, I mean, as I said before, I was in quite excruciating pain. So, and the doctors found tumors on my liver and my pancreas, and because I also have a history with cancer, I was on, I guess, high, they monitored me quite highly, but no one could really tell me what was going on. They couldn't run certain tests because I was pregnant and it might harm the baby. And, you know, I was just, every day I'd wake up and I'd be reeling on the floor. You know, my mum, Dan, my husband, would just kind of be standing around me, just looking at me up helplessly going, we don't know what to do. We really don't know what to do. And there came a time where Dan and I were just like, look, we're going to have to talk about what, like, it looks like there's no, it looks like it's going to kill you. And so we had to talk about what that would look like if I had died, or if the baby would die, or if we both would die. And, you know, having that conversation with anyone that you love is just, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And, you know, I remember us sitting at the edge of our bed, the lights were dim, and both of us just bawling our eyes out, just couldn't believe, like, we'd only been married for a few months, and just been, you know, catapulted into this situation. And so it's just like, okay, cool. So that was a really great marriage. I love about it now, but it was really horrifying. And basically him was my letter that I would have, if it hadn't gone to plan, if I had gone passed on, it would have been a letter that I would have wanted Dan to given to Nadav, if I hadn't made it. Tell him when he gets here.
An enduring influence on me and inspiration on me because of that fire and that truth to the word.
Music makes you.
There's just so much beauty in this record. I just want to take this album and go and deliver it to everybody's house. Double J.